Around 15 million people around the world, including 20,000 in Australia, live with a spinal cord injury. Professor James St. John, a translational neuroscientist in Queensland, has dedicated his life to find therapies in an effort to repair these injuries and diseases of the nervous system. James is head of the Clem Jones Centre for Neurobiology and Stem Cell Research at Griffith University and is my guest this morning on Changing Australia. James, a very warm welcome to you.
Good morning, Sally.
What's the value in research of sometimes thinking outside the box, taking the conventional theories and doing something completely different to see if there are any possibilities there?
The value lies in that, wow, we might be successful. Having crazy ideas that people haven't really tested before can lead to incredible outcomes, particularly when it's targeted towards making an impact for the community. And that's what we do with our research with spinal cord injury. We're focusing on having impact.
How did you get into this area? Because I understand, James, you started actually as an agricultural scientist. It's a bit of a turnaround. Can you talk about that for me?
Yeah, that's right. When I left school, I really loved science, but I wasn't sure what sort of science to do. I didn't want to do a straight science that was offered at university. Agricultural science offered everything. You could do plant biology, animal biology, chemistry. So that was what I wanted. Plus also it taught you about business, because agriculture is about using science and the environment in a business world to deliver products. So it taught me what science is really about, just doing everything and then having a product at the end. So I started off that, and actually I did my PhD in plant biology, looking at carbohydrate metabolism. And now I'm working in the brain, so it's quite a leap.
What do you think that's given you to come in from outside rather than from a traditional pathway into neuroscience?
Well, the reality was when I first started my work at University of Melbourne with our Professor Brian Key, I didn't really know what a brain was. And it was embarrassing looking back at how much I didn't know. But it also taught me that you can change fields and become a risk taker. And my passion for learning was very high. So I didn't follow dogma. I didn't know what was supposed to be occurring when we were doing our different assays in the nervous system tests. So I was looking for answers that hadn't been thought of before. And that gave me an incredible advantage. I remember my first live cell imaging I did, it was moving very fast. And when we presented that at a conference, people didn't believe that these nerve cells could be moving so fast. But I didn't know what time frame to expect. So for me, it was like obvious. It was very interesting.
James, when someone has a spinal cord injury, what exactly happens to the body? And is there finality about that injury or is there room to move?
Yeah, spinal cord injury is devastating. The spinal cord is the highway between the brain and the rest of the body. The brain sends down motor signals to move your muscles, and it receives sensory signals from the body up to the brain. When that highway is broken through a traumatic injury, such as occurs in a car accident, that whole network of communication is shut off. It's like turning off the lights. And that means that a person with spinal cord injury, if they have a full, complete injury, cannot move their body, they cannot feel their body, and they cannot control their bowel, bladder, or sexual function. Unfortunately, despite brilliant healthcare that we have here in Australia and around the world, there is no treatment for spinal cord injury. The best that people with spinal cord injury can hope for, and the best that clinicians can hope for, is that there'll be some natural recovery. And that can occur in some people, but often it's not possible for many bad injuries, but also those who have a partial injury still cannot get full recovery or function. So it means they live with lifetime paralysis and loss of function. It's devastating for them, for their families, and for our community.
And why is this area so difficult? We're able to repair things like muscles and bones and some nerves. For example, if someone has an injury to their hand or foot, why is the spinal cord so difficult?
It's because it is so complex. There are so many pathways. And when you think about how many cells there are, there are billions of cells within there. And each cell has its own role. And there's a huge network of communication, crosstalk, and feedback loops that have to be coordinated, or repaired and then coordinated. So it is a major task. But probably the biggest problem is that the nervous system is designed to protect itself from further damage. So when there's an injury, cells will come in to form a scar around that injury site. And that scar itself causes a physical barrier that then the regenerating nerve cells cannot get across. Mm. So that repair mechanism that the body puts in place is actually what stops regeneration in many cases.
Mm. How important has a community collaboration been for you in your research, James, and also sitting down and really listening to people with lived experience who've had these kind of injuries and understanding their insights, their perspectives, their priorities in this kind of work?
For us, it's been absolutely life-changing. It makes the research exciting. We know our purpose. And talking to people, we understand the types of injuries, and we find out that every injury is different. Every person's experience is different, and the recovery pathways are going to be different as well. That helps us to design a therapy that suits them. It's very easy for scientists to sit away in the lab and come up with an idea, but if the people who are going to be receiving it don't want it or don't like it, you're not going to get the product to market. So we've taken from the outset the approach of we need to understand what people want. We need to understand the differences between, say, males and females and what they want. I'll give an example. In our surveys we've done on the community, women are less likely, slightly less likely, to volunteer to be on a clinical trial, perhaps because they're not such, you know, high risk takers as, say, males with spinal cord injury. That tells us we have to encourage women to apply to be on the trial, or to design the trial in a way that's more attractive to women. So all these aspects are really important to consider to get a therapy that's going to work for everyone.
You're listening to Changing Australia this morning, and my guest is Professor James St. John, who's working on spinal cord injuries, trying to find treatments and therapies. One of the projects you've worked on, James, and you're continuing to work on, is the use of nasal cells. Can you tell me about that and the thinking behind that?
The use of nasal cells may sound crazy, but it is what we think is going to work. It has a long history, well before my time. In Australia, Alan Mackay-Sim, who was the 2017 Australian of the Year, first tested whether taking these cells from the nose and putting them into the spinal cord was safe for treating spinal cord injury. And his results showed that it could be safe. The cells have very special properties. The sense of smell is the only part of the nervous system that regenerates every day as part of its normal function.